I asked some of you if you had got me prayed up this evening. Some shook their heads and others kind of looked at me funny. But somebody must have been praying for him because he was sounding good there. I was about ready to sit down and let him have this tonight and kind of enjoy his preaching for a spell. But I reckon since I'm the evangelist, I guess we'll do it this way. I hope you don't mind for me shedding my coat because I might come out of it anyway and I wouldn't want to tear it up. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, please, for a moment, please. God of all mercy and grace, we do thank you again for our time and your time, Lord, have met here in this place. We pray to Father that your time and our time will bring us ever so close to you through Jesus Christ. Open our eyes, unstop our ears, ignite our hearts, Lord, with your love, and may your word be ever true in Jesus' name. You ever try to get something going real fast? I used to make wagons a long time ago. I hadn't made one in a while. But I can't remember anything that I enjoyed more than a homemade wagon tearing down through the woods and dodging trees and having the best part of fun anybody could ever have and then hitting trees and laughing your face off and rubbing everything that was hurting and most of the things that were bloody and just having a ball. This was growing up, and we really enjoyed our lives. And I'm trying to really enjoy my life as much as I can now. But I guess the thing that really I enjoy most is the Lord and His presence in my life and how He is working not only in me, but in all of you and in His church. The apostle writes here, he's bringing a warning. And I have to bring you a warning because the warning always comes before the good things come. And I must bring you a warning. He said, this is the second epistle, beloved. I write unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that you may be reminded of the words which I spoke before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. You know, if we would take a kind of a survey of how people are living today, I'm sure every one of you could give us a real inside track on how people are living. And how people really that are supposed to be Christians are living. Because I think he's talking about Christians here as scoffers. Somebody says, huh? I really believe he is. In fact, I know this. He says, know this first that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Now, I've not heard too many people scoffing at the coming of the Lord. I've been around quite a little bit, and I haven't heard anybody say much about Jesus is not really coming. Most of the people I hear, even evangelists on the radio and TV and all this other stuff, they've really gotten tuned with it. They're all saying that Jesus is coming. I really believe that this is affecting the church more than it's affecting the world. And the reason I believe this, I believe that a lot of people are living their life in such a way that they are scoffing at the coming of Christ. They're not living up to their full potential. They're not walking in the holy way and doing the things that are pleasing to God. They're walking after their own lust and trying to live in this world and yet hoping to live in the world to come. You can't play both sides against the middle. You will lose. You can't do that. You can't play on both sides of the fence. And straddling a piece of barbed wire, let me tell you, is very, very uncomfortable. Let me tell you, I've done that, and I can tell you with all experience, it is a most hurtful place to be. We used to go in this old man's pasture over there next to where we live, and he had three bulls. And every one of them, we named them Ugly, Awful, and Terrible. Now, Terrible was the mean one. And we like to arouse him more than we did ugly in the other one, because he would chase you. Our favorite thing was to sneak up behind him and slap him right where the Lord put him together. And give him one of them down-home feelings that he'd never had in quite some time. Immediately he would turn. And immediately we would make faces at him and go out in front of him and shake our little britches, you know, and do all this little stuff just to make sure he's seen us. And then we would take off like somebody shot out of a cannon. Now, we always planned our escape. I don't know if you've ever done any of this stuff. If you've ever planned your escape, I planned mine. I had me a place where there was something about this high, and I could just hit it and go over the barbed wire real easy. That day, he chased me to my other spot. I couldn't cut back because he was here. So when we took off, I outrun him, and I went to my other spot. The thing about it is I had my chubby little sister behind me, and you know you don't leave your chubby little sister in the rear. No matter what, if there's a herd of elephants, don't leave your little sister, your chubby little sister, in the rear. And I was going to save her no matter what. Now, she couldn't get down as low as I could, and she couldn't roll like I could, but she could be drugged real fast. So when I went under the fence, she was just coming. And I grabbed her and I give her one of them down home, here you come. And I yanked her through there. The only thing was the chubby part got hung on the barbed wire. Needless to say, we took that home and Mother didn't like it at all. That might sound a little funny to you, but I think people are really living their lives in a very dangerous way, like we did with the bull. We could have got hurt. I think people are living their lives in such a way that they're not really living their potential for Christ. And I think by the way they're living, they're scoffing at God in such a way that they're actually saying, by the way they live, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You're either going to live this all the way or you're not going to live it at all. You're either going to be His totally or you're not going to belong to Him at all. There is no halfway middle of the road of trying to do this. It has to be all for God and none for the rest of the world, or it can't be for God because you can't get the world out of you. Somebody says, how do you draw that conclusion from that scripture? Because I see how people are living. I see how people are living, even in my own church. I see how people are living that are my neighbors. I see how people are living that are my relatives. And I see how they're conducting their lives. And do you know that I believe that the majority of them are just scoffing at the Lord because they are not living to their full potential of being the Christians and God-fearing children of God they ought to be? Jesus had a round with the Pharisees and Sadducees. Bunch of good old boys. But he called them, he says, you of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a liar from the beginning, and evidently if he's your father, then you're a liar too. We're Abraham's seed, they said. They had that thing really down pat. But the only thing was wrong with them, they could not hear the one that was talking to them, nor could they possibly perceive the one who was trying to tell them the truth about who he was. And they went about scoffing at everything he said. Every message he gave, they always tried to contradict him. They always laid a plan to do something to kind of waylay him some way. They always had a plan, and they finally worked the greatest plan of all. They put him to death. How would you scoff at God unless you just stood up in His face and scoffed at the gift that He gave? How much more serious scoffing can you do than to in your own life eliminate Christ Jesus as the Savior in your life? I really believe that a lot of people are not really giving their whole heart to God. And it scares me to death because I see people that could really be on fire for God, that could really be God's people, and could really turn the world upside down. And you know what's wrong with them? They can't get their head out of the world long enough to get their heart to God. They can't get their minds out of the devil's mess long enough to give their heart totally and completely to God. My book tells me that it's to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. If the Lord's washed you, made you whiter than snow, and set you on that beautiful road between here and the kingdom of God, and He's with you always, even to the end of the world, tell me what you got to worry about. And tell me how much of the world you need, because I'm going to get to a part here in a few minutes when there's not going to be any world at all. He says, "For this they are willingly ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." Are people really spiritually ignorant? Do you really think people just don't know? Or are they willingly ignorant? One part of my Bible says that people are willingly ignorant. You mean they really want to be stupid all the time? Now, going down through the woods on a little old made-up wagon, chasing everything in sight and trying to dodge every tree, I think that's stupid. I wouldn't do it now for all the world. I wouldn't even think about doing it now. There's too many parts of me that don't want pins in them. There's too many parts of me that don't want any part of steel in them. There's too many parts of me that wants to stay together till my final day of living. And that's the reason I won't do stuff like that no more. But the thing of the matter is that many people are spiritually ignorant, are willingly ignorant, because they will not let the Lord have the total life and give them the thing that they should have. The blessing of what we have is being a child of God. Amen. Just knowing the Lord. You ever walked out beside of a night and raised your hands up to God and said, "Lord, I just love you, I just love you, and I thank you for loving me." Don't that feel good? Isn't that a blessing? That's just like somebody pouring all of God's blessings from heaven right smack dab in the middle of a little old bitty earthly heart, and it just goes almost out of your chest. What was wrong with Noah's world? Did they have church in Noah's world? Did they have revivals in Noah's world? Somebody says, everybody's going, "No, no, no." People, I believe in my heart that church was just like anything else in Noah's world. It had all gone to the devil. I believe that everything that was going on in Noah's world was going down the tubes. It was not for God, because God took a look down there one day and He only found one fella that had enough spirituality in him to listen to Him. For the rest of them, all their minds had gone every way but God's way. Every one of them was chasing something else, some other dream, some other thing. The lust of the flesh was prevailing. The minds were totally given to evil. The thoughts and intents of the heart were gone down. They were all out with God. And the Bible says these nice, kind words about Noah. "And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Now, if the Lord said to you, I watched this movie not too long ago, some dude did a thing on a movie or something, and what was his name? It wasn't Noah. I don't remember. You know, I don't watch movies that much. In fact, half of them don't stay in here anyhow, because it's in one door and out the other door when movies are concerned. But anyhow, he was building an ark in the back of his yard, and this black fellow who was supposed to be God was telling him all these things to do. And really, I don't think he was even close to being a Noah, because he had so many other goofy things going on in his life. And I couldn't see God in any of them. I thought, you know, this guy's not even in touch with the Lord. But you and I are seeing the world in a mess right now. This world is trying to change everything that you see and in your family. This world is trying to change everything about all that you believe right now. And that TV you sit in front of every night and watch the good old news and the good old weather and all that stuff and everything, I would say without too much doubt that over half of it is propaganda made up just so you'll believe it. I only believe this stuff. I gave up on the world because they can't tell me nothing that I don't know already. And they can't tell me about Jesus because don't any of them know him. Even some of the greatest theological institutions on the face of the earth today do not know Jesus Christ the Lord. They have him from everything from being God himself to the incarnate one to being somebody. There is not one thing in here that names Jesus as God of very God. You know that? You take the lids of this Bible and go from front to back, and I will guarantee you will not find anything in here that says God of very God. You will hear these words, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And you will hear another little caption below it, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Don't you wonderfully feel good that God revealed that Jesus is your Savior and Lord? Don't you feel good about that? Flesh and blood didn't tell you. Some little short-legged booger standing here didn't tell you. God told you. God told you beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Aren't you happy with that? It is. It is wonderful. It is wonderful. He says here, "But the heavens and earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved in the fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men." I used to be a total hellfire believer. Yes, I did. I did believe that there was somebody running around in an awful place somewhere where everything was on fire and he had a pitchfork. And he was stewing this and cooking that and doing all kinds of stuff. I really had it in my mind down deep in here, and I was scared to death. And there was times I didn't even want to close the shades in my room or any other thing because I was terrified. I was a kid, and they were teaching this stuff to me, and I was petrified in my own mind and heart. And you shouldn't do this to children. You shouldn't tell children stuff like this because it really hurts them inside. And through some miraculous miracle, and God only knows how it happened, is that Lord the Almighty revealed himself to me through his Son Jesus. And I went from somebody that believed nonsense to somebody that believes God sense. I don't know which one happened. I'm thinking that he found me, but I'm glad he did. But the thing that really has kept me over this thing, he says, there's going to be a punishment. And it's going to be what? He said it's going to be reserved until the fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. There's a judgment coming to this world. And there is going to be a lake of fire, which I have no reservations for. I have not put my name in the bucket for that one. I have made reservations quite the other direction. I'm going to meet the Lord Jesus along with you and many more of you in the air just somewheres up there, and I don't give a hoot where it's at, just so I meet him in the clouds in the air. And so shall I ever and you be with the Lord. I like that idea. Do you like that idea? I have no presence on this thing about fire and perdition and all this stuff. But he says here, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." You know, I want to live through one of God's one days. I heard a noted evangelist say he was going to go to where he's supposed to go, which wasn't hot. And that for the first 100 years he was going to sleep. I don't know about him, but I'm going to be wide awake when I get mine. And I'm going to be hard to take care of because I'm going to really do it. I'm going to think I'm at a party. Because when you cut me loose after all this mortality melts away, and you cut you loose after all that mortality out there melts away, and all the things in this life melt away, and there's no more sin, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more of the former things, you think that's not going to cut me and you loose? That's going to be the wildest thing that's ever happened in this whole wide world. You think we're not going to sing and dance and have music and have a big old party? I've got news for you. I think the first 1,000 years of God is going to be a real old blowout. It's going to be like when all the stars started shooting at once. I really believe it's going to be great and beyond anything that this head of mine can cook up. And the Lord is probably going to have to calm me down because I think He's probably going to have to say, James, this is going to have to be quiet because I think I'll probably go problem just out of the other end of it. I'm not going to go to sleep, I promise you. Now, they fed me good 3 times a day, and I'm probably going to sleep like a log tonight. After I hit that room at Marvin's house, it won't do nothing till daylight. You and I count God as being the greatest thing that's ever happened to us. I don't know where your world was, but I know where mine was at, and I know what He did in my world. And I know what He did to this heart of mine. And I know how He changed me. And I know how He feels now since He sent His Holy Spirit within me. And since He puts His Son Jesus in the throne of my heart. I know how I feel now. Used to be some stuff they said they described it as indescribably delicious. I'll guarantee you mine will go way past that. Way past that. The writer here says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, for not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord wants to just reach out and put His arms all around you right now. And you know what He wants? He wants you in His kingdom and His glory. You know that? He wants you to shine forth as a sun in His kingdom. That's what He wants. He wants to hug you every day of the rest of your life until that final day He hugs you right into eternity forever and ever and ever and always. He don't want one of you out of anything. He wants you all to be right in the middle of everything. He wants to give you everything. He wants to hold you so close to His heart that you can feel God's heart beating. I want to know if you want to feel the heart of God beating. Do you want to hear it? Somebody says His heart don't beat. Oh, boy. I don't know what it does, but I know one thing. When you get real close to God, everything around you gets warm, especially my heart. Especially my heart. And I'm here to tell you, I don't know what I'd do without Him. I'd be a screaming idiot if I didn't have God and His Son Jesus. I'd be off the deep ends of faith. They wouldn't know where I went. But He's saying something here. The apostle is writing. He said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth and also the works that are therein shall be burned up. You know when that's going to happen? Somebody says, oh, you don't know. Listen, what's going to happen? When you and I go to meet the Lord in the clouds in the air, this old place is going to burn to the ground. Somebody says, how do you know that? I don't think the world can stand Jesus coming back to this world. I think if He'd show up right now, Washington, D.C. would be the hottest place in the world. And I believe the Kremlin would be the next hottest place in the world. And I'd like to tell you the third place, the hottest place in the world, be them Saudis over there sitting on all that oil that we're paying yatta yum yum for. But I don't plan on being singed by nothing, brothers and sisters. Not one inch of me. Not the bottom of my little pretty robe that I'm going to have, nor my little crown God's going to put on my head. None of that's going to have the smell of smoke on it. Not one smell of smoke will I have on me when I meet Jesus in the clouds, in the air, and to live forever. But he says this world's what's going to happen to it. Listen to it again and just take it slow and easy. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Who's it coming as a thief? The world. He said, lift up your heads and rejoice. For what reason, Pastor? Oh, don't that sound good, even coming out of his mouth? Lift up your heads and rejoice. For what reason? The preacher just told you. What? Say it again, preacher. Your redemption draweth nigh. We're expecting this thing to blow to smithereens. You know it? You ever been sitting on something that you knew was going to blow up? It's going to blow up right when you leave it. When the Lord calls His children out of this world. This world is going to be left with nothing else in it. Because all the important things, yes, all the important things, and all the things that have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and all the things that have accepted God as their Heavenly Father, those things will be meeting the Lord in the clouds in the air, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. You tell me about that. What's he say here? And the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Oh, you know they're all going. You've heard that thing, going, going, gone? That's exactly what's going to be, going, going, gone. He said, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation in God? Did Jesus swear, cuss, or do anything, snort, and carry on like the rest of some of us do sometimes? No. Oh, he had reason to a couple of times. You know, sometimes I wish he'd have wrapped them Pharisees up in a nice little thing like a pretzel, tied a big knot in the middle of them, and sent them out away. But he didn't do it, did he? Because he is the same Savior of that nation whom God sent him to as he is the Savior of this world and you and me. And if he give us our just reward, there wouldn't be a small particle of us left. But he gave us Jesus to save us from our sin. How do you talk? You talk about the Lord? Me and Marvin talked about corn, tomatoes. What have we talked about, Marvin, all day long? It's been corn, tomatoes, and how to grow them. And I even got a whole bunch of stuff that I was supposed to put in my shed, and I found it out there when I opened the back of the truck, and I gave Marvin to him. I said, put a handful of this under them tomatoes. I didn't tell them it'd probably be like a resurrection day to them maters. They'll be so happy to get out of the ground, their little hands will be going like this. Mm. He said, seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons you ought to be, he says, and all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God. Now, God's going to have His day in this world. He's going to have His day in this world. It's going to be God's day one day. That will be probably be called the last day, because there's not going to be no days after that. but it's going to be God's day. Let me read the rest of it to you. Looking for and hastening to the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Boy, it's going to be a warm day, isn't it? No one of those guys are going to be running out there crying for the rocks and mountains to hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne. No one of the multitude of the world is going to be screaming and hollering and running seven different directions and can't get nowhere. And all that busy moment when the world is receiving a lot of justice from God, you and I are going to be receiving our just reward in the presence of the Lord, in the glory of His power. Don't that make you feel good? That's just like somebody pouring ice water right down your spine. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth. I like the next part. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. Some crook come down Marvy's house and sold his young'un's four-wheeler. I don't like it either. I was up at my house one day, and I do have guns. Don't nobody get excited, I have them. I got several of them. Somebody said, "You put a gun in his hand?" Oh, my word. Pray hard. Give him a gun. Two or three times, ma'am. I thought one day, and we had a bunch of detectives, and they were using our place for a place where they stored all their cars, all their drug cars, because they used them to go out and buy drugs and they didn't want the cars to be seen. So they were all parked down there behind our barns and behind our milk house, our old milk barn and all this stuff. And we kept about seven or eight down there. Had two or three of the DEA agents, I think I said that right, and some drug people from our county came down there one day. They was getting ready to go up on a thing. Big old trash can out behind my house, 55-gallon trash can. I got a little Remington 20-gauge 5-shot pump shotgun. It was a gift from a friend of mine when I left Lawrenceville. He figured I was going to have to shoot somebody down here, so he gave me a good gun. No, don't tell nobody that one, please. I load that booger up, and I walk out there, and I cut down on that trash can, and I just blast that thing five times. Well, you know what the law does when they hear shooting? They think somebody's a dying. So here they come busting out of the holler down there just as fast as they can come up through there. "What are you doing up here?" I said, "Well, that's my burglar alarm." He says, "Did you say that again? I would like to hear that." I said, "That's my burglar alarm." He said, "I've been in the law enforcement almost 20-some years, and I've never heard anything being told to me that a man shooting at a trash can is a burglar alarm." I said, "You two see those two little boys across the way over there standing behind them two trailers?" He said, "Yeah, I see them." I said, "I just sent them a message that if they come over here and carry anything out of my yard, they're going to have lead breeches before they get to the other side of the pasture." And I said, "I'll guarantee you that they just got the message." He said, "You know, that will work." I look for a new heavens and a new earth. I don't have to put up with that nonsense. And when the Lord arrives, all my guns are going to go away. They're going to burn up. Why would I need them? I have no need for them. Can't shoot rabbits in the kingdom, can't shoot squirrels, and can't kill a deer. Can't shoot that old turkey gobbler when he goes out there and gobbles at me. Can't do none of that. I'm going to live in peace with everything in God's creation. But I do look forward to that new heavens and new earth. I look forward to seeing your people that sleep silently out there, walking in the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power. I look forward to the day when I see my mama come up out of the ground and she says my name again. I look forward to the day that my daddy comes up and tells me, like he always did, "You're my good boy." That's what's going to make us all happy. And if you focus on it with all your heart, that's what's going to save you from this world of sin and this world of injustice and this world of lust and killing and all these other things. That's what will save you from this world. But you've got to focus on that. You can't be like the rest of them. Let me tell you for one good thing. If you've met Jesus Christ, you're not like the rest of them. And if you keep him in your heart as Lord and Master, you'll never be like the rest of them. And you thought you was going to feed me 3 meals a day and I get up here and burp and carry on a little bit and not preach? Fooled you! Wherefore, beloved, seeing that we look for such things, be diligent that we may be found in him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Do you see these things are coming? I heard a jet come over the other day, and he kind of rattled it around here. I told these people back a long time ago when I showed up here, I told them about the jets that came out over the pond up there at Paul Overhauser's. F-14s. Big boogers. I mean, you could put Pastor Rich, Pastor Fletcher, and Brother Bill Vaughn in some of those places where all that flame comes out, and there'd still be room for a couple of you. They made a habit of coming out of Rock Pat, and they come up there and they lay them boogers sideways as they turned them and come over Paul Overhauser's pond. And just when I'm just enjoying bass fishing, they have to bring them boogers out of the shed. Shake the very ground, and them bass, they go to the bottom and won't come up for 2 or 3 days. He said, "Be diligent that you may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless." Listen to this. "And accounting that the long-suffering of God is salvation, even as our brother, beloved brother, Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." This world needs to be shook up. It needs to be shook up by you. I told you the other night, if you go to your rooms and get down on your knees, God's going to shake the whole world just by you being who you are. I've told you already that if you put all this before God and let God be with you, and I can't count the times that he said in this book, "I will be with you. I am with you. You are mine. I will be with you always to the end of the world." He's not slack concerning his promises. Take this book and read it. Just move the pages along, all of you. And there's not anything that he said in there that he won't do. You're going to be a holy terror to the booger. Did you know that? Somebody says, "You do talk a lot about that." Let's just leave that a little bit calm right now. But let me tell you something. The world needs something that you've got inside your heart. And you know what it is. You know exactly what it is. And you know exactly what you ought to be. And don't make those excuses. "I've retired. I can't do this. I can't do that." No. If you looked in there when Moses started doing his work for God, and if you looked in there when Noah started building his ark, how old he was? Why, some of you are spring chickens 3 times removed. He don't care how old you are. He don't care how young you are either. Or any of you other children. He doesn't care. If he can take a little boy going down through an old place and placing off against a Philistine with just a slingshot, he can do anything, fellas. He can do anything. Did David go down through there shaking? He couldn't have hit that booger's head if he had. He went down through there with a steadfast hand and with the Lord God Almighty all around him. You come to me with a shield, a buckler, and a sword. I come to you in the name of the Lord God Jehovah, who this day will deliver you into my hands. It's not something we can joke about, because there's nothing to joke about here. It's the Lord trying to mix with you and trying to put His Spirit in your life to make you mindful of what you need to do and you have to do. You can't live a calm life. Talk to two people a day. They're retired people. You don't retire in this. There's no retirement here. Now, I'm on my way to a party, and it's not a retirement party. It's not when I lay it all down. It's when I pick it all up to do all I need to do for the rest of eternity. I don't know what He's going to let me do when I get there, because I'm not very good at anything except this. And I didn't get good at this of my own way. He made me this way. And from the day my mother brought me into this world, I believe I've been His. And from that day to this day, I believe that one day I'll be His forever. Have you got a believer's outlook? Do you see what's coming? Can you hear it? The other night I laid down quietly and I heard a big old train off in the distance. You could hear the whistle blowing and it just kept rumbling across the valleys. I thought of the day. Oh, the day when the Lord sends forth His angel and blows that trumpet. And the voice of the archangel and the voice of the Son of Man. And to hear these words from Jesus. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit a kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Get ready, people. The most exciting moment of your life is just a few seconds away. And in God's time, it's really a few seconds away.